Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. If you would you please turn with me in your Bible to the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation. I'm going to read the first 9 verses. I know in my bulletin I put down 8, but my typos seem to be coming more and more apparent. It's Revelation chapter 1, and it's going to be verses 1 through 9. Brothers and sisters, would you please follow along with me as I read God's holy word? Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep it, what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the 7 churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the 7 spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory, dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming within the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the isle called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Well, may the Lord be praised through the proclamation of his word. I have some stuff that I was going to do a little different this morning. It's an illustration. And I'm going to ask you to pull out from your bulletin first this. It's a breakdown of the book of Revelation. It's in the bulletin. Do you remember I was going through Psalms a couple years ago, and I was mentioning at the time a chiasm. Do you remember that term that I used, a chiasm? It's when the writer planned ahead of time how he is going to write the psalm or his message. It was planned out. It wasn't just like, oh, I sat down and I write, oh, dear Jan, thank you for this, thank you for that. It isn't like that. It was planned. And the chiasm worked as in he's going to start with a subject, he's going to end with the subject. The start of the subject is, this is what it's going to look like, and then when he finishes, this is what we have as the final product. Along the way, he's going to describe certain events to get to that and saying, did you see it? And then he's going to repeat the same 4, 5, 6 things, and he's going to repeat them in reverse, as in how they were fulfilled or how they were accomplished. Well, Revelation is that same thing, and there is an example. If you notice, I tried to give you a slight little walking away, and as you look at it, when we look at the book of Revelation, there's the prologue. It starts out in the first 3 verses. Hey, this is from God. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And it's going to be to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the angel, and the angel is going to speak to John. So that's the prologue. Then there's the greetings that we have in verses 4 and 5. And then if you notice, then you have the whole body of the book of Revelation. It's from chapter 1, verse 5, and it goes all the way to the chapter 22, verse 20. That's the body of it. Now, the body is going to be broken down. Notice what he's going to do in verses 5 through 8. He's going to say thank you, thanksgiving to God, what he's done, what he's accomplished. And now there's the main part where John says in verse 9, I was on the Isle of Patmos. And he's starting his story. And so then what we will hear is John is listening to an angel and he says, what have you seen? So this is the vision that he's going to be seeing this, and he's going to actually ask that. And it's verses 19 through 20. And so then what we see, so now that you've seen this, you're going to see number two in there is, what is? What is the state of the church right then and there? And that's chapter 2 and 3. He says, what's the state? What's happening in the churches? Now, what you have to realize is, who is the head elder of the seven churches that were in Asia? You better know it's John. He is the apostle, and he's the head of those churches. And he's living in the city of Ephesus. Okay? This is just common knowledge. This is nothing special. So what is? And so what is the state of the churches at that time? You'll hear, and we'll read about it when we get to it in chapter 2 and 3. And then what is to be done? Notice the size of that from chapter 4 all the way to chapter 22. This is what's going to be done. And then that gets broken down. And that's when we see cycle 1. Now picture this. All right, this is, you have to know this. When did this all start? When does all this start? When you read chapter 4, it opens up with, and I saw a door opening. When did the door of heaven open? It's a direct reference back to Psalm 24. It's when Christ ascended into heaven in chapter 2. No human had ever entered back into heaven since Adam. Now the door is open in Revelation 4. And so this opens now, and then what you see in chapter 5 is what? In Revelation 5, you see John is standing there, and he's saying, what is? What's happening? And he sees, it says, and the Lion of Judah is going to come. And then what does he just, how does he describe the Lion of Judah in that imagery? He says, I saw a lamb. The lamb came, and as if it was slain, and it takes the scrolls. Well, what are the scrolls? They're the proof of authority. He is now given the authority. And that's, and there is his authority lined out in every one of those chapters. And then he talks, and now I put in the word cyclical, even though I didn't have to. The way you and I need to see this is when you and I read the book of Revelation, I was taught when I attended Davis College and when I went to Rice that the book of Revelation is like this. Thank you, Roy, for not putting this away. He came up, he goes, we got to put this stuff away. The kids brought it up front. No, I need it. I'm the kid. I was taught it was a puzzle. Revelation is a puzzle with thousands of pieces. And what do you do with a puzzle? Well, oh man, I got to find the right colors and I got to find the corner pieces. And then after I find all the corner pieces and all the straight pieces, then I try to find all the right colors that fit in and they're random and I got to move them around and put colors in a certain area and organize it, and then I got to somehow puzzle it together. Well, that's what I was taught, and I'd like to propose to you that is not correct. Do you know what this is? You know, pardon?
A story.
It is a picture book. It's about a little girl and a polar bear. Now, I'm going to use this as an illustration. All right, it's not biblical, so pastor is not promoting that Jesus is a bear. All right, now if I could flip this, the little girl has to go to bed. All right, she's got to go to bed. She has her little teddy bear with her. And so she, her mother is going to put her to bed. And as she goes to bed, the mother tells her a bedtime story right here. And then after that, this polar bear starts coming to her house. And the pictures lead us to believe that the polar bear is now sneaking in the window and he's right next to her. And as the polar bear snuggles up next to her and sleeps with her, and as we move on, she sees the polar bear and she, oh, I love you. And so it's, oh, you're just got to sleep with me. So the next morning, what does the little girl do? I need to feed the polar bear, Mommy. And guess what? And the mother goes, had put the daughter to bed with a teddy bear. So what does the mom and dad think? She's talking about the teddy bear. But it's really a polar bear. And so she gets the food and goes back upstairs. Mom and dad, they end up going to work. And as we move through it, she has her day with her teddy bear and all the problems. And she has to clean up after the polar bear. And then, so she's yelling at him. Oh, you shouldn't have done that. And then, so she's screaming. So eventually, she's going through the house, taking care of it, and the polar bear sneaks behind mom and dad. He's there, even though mom and dad never know that. And then what happens? Finally, the polar bear becomes her bed at night. Mom comes in and visits her. And then finally, what happens? She goes to bed, and the polar bear sneaks back out of the house and then goes away, and the little girl says, "My polar bear is left." So what happens? Mom and dad comfort her and say, "Your teddy bear is still here with you." What was that? It's a picture book. What is the book of Revelation? It is a picture book. It's telling you a story. It's telling you the story about how victorious Jesus Christ is. He's been handed the scrolls of authority. As he opens up each one of the scrolls, breaks the seal, we hear about that he has the seven seals. And then there's seven trumpets. And then there's going to be seven figures. And there's going to be seven bowls. And there's going to be judgment of Babylon. There's the great white horse judgment. And there's the great white throne judgment. There's these cycles that are going to happen from when? From when heaven's door was opened in Revelation 4. Christ is sitting on the throne of authority. And now the church, believers, Scripture will call us two things, the overcomers, and it's going to be used eight times in Scripture, or the earth dwellers, which is used eight times. And what you are going to have to decide is, are you an overcomer or are you an earth dweller? The earth dweller are going to be judged by God. The overcomers are going to be where? In the heavenly places, in the end, Revelation 22. So what are we having? So we're going to work through this sequence, this storybook of unfolding Christ's authority. And it's going to show how his authority is overcoming Satan in all of these different circumstances for everyone who is a believer, since Jesus Christ has opened the door to heaven. When did he open the door? Acts chapter 2. He ascended into heaven and he sits at the right hand of the Father. Since Acts chapter 2, we know Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father and he has been given all power and authority. He is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and that is what the book of Revelation is about. It's a storybook, a picture book, revealing how magnificent he is and how he is going to overcome in all of these circumstances throughout what we will call the church age. The time before the first advent when Jesus was here to the time of the second advent. We're just waiting. And he tells us to do that patiently. Now, if you're like me, my patience is very, very short and very, very thin. And I usually get really whiny and frustrating, especially when things don't go as I imagine they should go. And somehow I think I had a better plan than the Lord does. He should have planned it out this way. In fact, we were mentioning something earlier this morning about the Reformation and how it seemed really convoluted in the way things came about. And it wasn't organized the way I like things to be organized. Somehow, I don't think the Lord really ever asked me, but that's another issue altogether. So when you and I look at the book of Revelation, it's a storybook unfolding from one aspect of God being, or Jesus Christ being victorious over the other. And he's bringing us along. We see the beginning of it when you and I read Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Why do I say that? Well, that is going to be the immediate help that was needed for the churches in Asia. We think of it as Western Turkey. Gary, do you have that? I have some. Whoop. Let's see if we get that thing to start working. That didn't come out very clearly, did it? I can barely see it. Yeah. Can you make out at least Asia, where it's saying Asia here? And this is where Paul went up into Galatia, where Paul missionary there. And then Paul later in a second missionary journey came around this part of Turkey. Gary, there's like four or five past this one, and it goes, yes. Let's see. No, we'll have to go a farther. Yeah, we'll do that one. We'll do this one. Can you see Smyrna here? It's large enough. We're going to be looking at Smyrna a minute. The reason is the Apostle John, Peter and John, had made their base of operation actually here in Ephesus. Peter is long gone, and he had been martyred just before 70 A.D., but Ephesus was a very big Christian community, and then the gospel had started spreading, and then you can see where it had gone up. It was in Smyrna, it was in Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, and so John was working out of Ephesus. He was speaking to brothers and sisters and teaching them, and he would then travel to here, and then he traveled to the different places. Now, Gary, can we go back and find the one where it actually shows where he was? Yes, Island of Patmos. Yeah, I know you can't see it because I can barely see it, and I'm standing right here. This is the Island of Patmos, and here is Ephesus. So after he was arrested, he was brought to the Isle of Patmos, and that's where he wrote the book of Revelation. Now, I have some information that I want to share with you. Now, if I can find it in my notes. Would you turn with me to Revelation 1:9? Revelation 1:9. And the reason I'm bringing you here is to show you that John is saying he is on the Isle of Patmos. He says, I, John, your brother and partner in the, notice he says, the tribulation. It's already starting. The tribulation is already starting. Difficult times. And the kingdom. The kingdom is already started. And the patient endurance that is in Jesus was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So we're hearing John saying he was here on the Isle of Patmos. And while he was there, he's in his later 90s. And the Lord comes to him and says, I want you to write this as a final epitaph for the people and for the churches. Now, some people believe he wrote this before 70 AD. I particularly don't think that's true. I think some people, there is no biblical verse that says when it was written. But I would like to give you some historical information that may be helpful. There was a church historian by the name of Irenaeus. He became a missionary. And I don't know if you can make it out here. He was born here in Smyrna. He was born in the year 125 A.D., 125 A.D., and he lived till 202. So he lived to the year 202. He became a missionary in southern France, which was at that time the frontier. And so anyways, he came to know the Lord as a young boy because while he was in Smyrna, there was a bishop, an elder, by the name of Polycarp. I know, it's a weird, why would you name somebody Polycarp? But anyways, Polycarp was also born in 69 A.D. in Smyrna. And he lived to the year 155. Now, what's so significant about Polycarp? Well, who taught, trained, and discipled Polycarp? The Apostle John. The Apostle John had ministered from Ephesus, traveled up to Smyrna, and discipled him. He became his prime student. And later, after he matured, John ordained him bishop, we say elder, of Smyrna. And while he was there, he was the elder there, and who sat under his ministry? Irenaeus, who became a missionary and eventually traveled all the ways over to France and evangelized southern France. So this is what Irenaeus said. He was writing a letter to a friend of his later who was asking, how did the book of Revelation come about? And his name is Florinus. And he says to his friend that he said, I had sat under Polycarp. And he says, in Polycarp's, through Polycarp's intercourse, as in conversation, was with the Apostle John and with others who also personally knew Jesus. Irenaeus also reported that Polycarp was converted to Christianity under the Apostle John and was made bishop of Smyrna by the Apostle John and communicated these things with many other things. And this comes from a biblical journal called Theopedia. So Irenaeus, who was from Smyrna, was told by the Apostle John Irenaeus was told by Polycarp that John was the one who originally wrote that. I'll use an example. I had a professor, Dr. Marmion Lau, at Davis College. He told me a story, and I think I've shared it with you before, how when he was a young teenager, his family was following a pastor who believed that the rapture was going to happen somewhere in the late 1919s. And so they sold their house, they sold everything, and they waited on a hill in Brome County outside of Binghamton. It's just a hilltop. And they were waiting for the rapture. They waited through the whole weekend. And now the rapture didn't happen. So what happened to them? They didn't have a house to go to. They sold it. They didn't have anywhere to go. He was out of work. Quit his job, everything. So they had to start all over. Now, when I heard Dr. Marmion Lau tell me this story, Dr. Lau was about 78 years old. I thought he was ancient at the time as a teenager. But my point is, he told me about how some pastor told him this was going to happen. And this is what this whole church did. They sold their property, everything. Now, I heard him tell me this story back in the 70s. I don't know if you remember, Jan was hearing that one either. But we were in the same class together. But anyways, the point being is I thought, that's interesting. I get to share that now with you. Now, this is 50 years later. And I'm sharing it with you. Now, for those of you who are younger, if you happen to share it some 25 or 30 years later, you can say, well, I knew somebody who actually knew somebody who was actually there. They lived it. And this is what can happen when someone has some bad biblical teaching. Does that make sense? So avoid people who are going to say something is going to happen because some pastor has an influence over you, which isn't biblical. Was there good intentions? No doubt. But they were misled. And so this is where now we're hearing Irenaeus tell us that Polycarp was personally around the Apostle John, knew he wrote the book of Revelation, and he wrote it near the end of the emperor of Rome's reign, and the emperor at that time was Domitian. I don't know if I can say that correctly. And he ruled from 81 to 96. So I'm more inclined to go along with the idea that the book of Revelation was written somewhere around 95, 96 AD because of a historical, not a biblical, a historical record by a man who was friends with, trained by, who actually witnessed and knew, personally knew, the man who wrote the book. Does that make sense, or am I getting too far askew? So what was the situation that was going on? What was the situation that was going on? Again, I'll read verse 9. It's Revelation 1:9. It says, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom. The kingdom has already started. It is not yet complete. We're waiting for the second advent. It's known as the already but not yet. That's the verse that convinced me of that was in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, where it says, you have been transferred into the kingdom of God. When I read that, I thought, okay, if I've been transferred into it, it must already exist. I can't be put into something that doesn't already exist. So John was imprisoned, and yet while he was there, he was here on the Isle of Patmos, out here in the Aegean Sea. He is writing now back to the churches. I don't know if you can make them out or not again. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philippi, and Laodicea. And they were having problems. The reason they were having problems is the emperor of Rome, who was Domitian, he wanted to be and commanded that he would be addressed as God and Lord. So when you were to approach him or someone in that way or to salute, you would have to say God and Lord. Well, as you can imagine, the Apostle John, being the Apostle John, somehow didn't bow his knee to that very good idea. And he, as a result of that, was imprisoned and put on the isle in Patmos. And he, while there, wrote the book of Revelation during this time of tribulation. He received the revelation, and it's from whom, why, what, where. Would you notice, I'm going to read two verses. Please follow along with me. It's verse 1 and verse 13. I want you to see John receives the revelation. He receives this information. I'll read it again. The revelation, and by the way, the word revelation means revealing. It's being revealed, made obvious, being made known. So the being made known is of a person. It is Jesus Christ. Now, who in that verse is going to make this known? Where's the first one who's going to make known Jesus Christ? It says God. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, Jesus Christ, to show to his servants, believers, the things that must soon take place. He, Jesus Christ, made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. And so we're going to hear a little bit where. It's verse 13. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, which is his popular human designation, that's Christ, clothed with a long robe and with golden sash around his chest. These two verses tell us how the Apostle John had received the truth about the ultimate victory by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is known as the chain of transmission. This phrasing, this verse 1, is known as the chain of transmission. First, God the Father desired to make known to everyone how victorious his Son really is, and is going to proclaim it to everyone. So he says to his Son, Jesus Christ, you are with all honor and glory. This is what it's going to be about. He is victorious. Jesus Christ takes up this great honor from the Father in heaven and publishes it through mankind. First, he approaches the angel of the Lord, instructs him to go and proclaim his accolades of his accomplishment. And then he goes on through that. And after that, we hear that the angel, after being instructed by Jesus, tells the Apostle John to write about Jesus' great accolades. And the angel of the Lord comes to John and guides him through the difficult accounts of Christ's accomplishments and the prophecies that are going to be told that are going to be happening in the future. Then the Apostle John picks up on this and he writes it down. And then who else is involved? The text tells us the churches of Asia, known as the servants of the Lord. They'll be evaluated by Jesus Christ in chapters 2 and 3. And they are supposed to be encouraged by this book, which John is directed to write by the Lord. And they were to take notice of the blessings and also the warnings that were being given. So who was the revelation written to? If John's writing it, who's he going to write it to? Notice with me, it's verse 4. He's saying who it's going to be. John to the seven churches that are in Asia, and I wish this was better. Here they are again: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philippi. Thank you, Gary. That's who it's written to. They're in Western Turkey, which it wasn't called Turkey at the time, it was called Asia. And so this is whom he's reaching out to. This was where John, the Apostle John, originally based himself. He visited all of those churches in a circuit and reached out to those people and encouraged them during this difficult time. So initially, the book was meant for people who are going through a difficult time. And so, as we see from this, there was a purpose. And so the purpose is going to be found in verse 4, where it says, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, referring to the Christ. And from the spirits, the seven spirits who are before the throne. And so we're hearing what the Lord is going to do with this for the purpose. And we're going to hear this in chapter 2, verse 2. I picked out one of them. There's several. I'll read this one from Revelation 2, 2, under his purpose. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil. But I have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. Their purpose in the book was that there was false people creeping into the church, giving poor and wrong information to the immature or the new believers, and they were not able to distinguish between it, and they were being led astray to think whatever mix and problems they particularly had at that time. And so what was the purpose behind John and the seven churches? He says he was going there to remind them that they are victorious. They're victorious in Christ, and that they needed to follow Christ. And so I will read to you a couple of verses. It's Revelation 4, 1 and 2. And after this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, says, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. And at once I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. So here John was transported before the throne of grace itself, and he was given, what do you need? What do you need so that you can be a godly man and a godly woman and not being deceived or misled? So what we need to know is that you and I have help, and that help and hope will change you and me. And it will change the way we think, which will mean if it's changing the way you think, it will mean it will be, respond in the way that you will then respond to circumstances and situations, difficult times and difficult decisions, and following after Christ, because your mind was filled and it's changed your heart's attitude. Here's an example of that, and it's in Revelation 5, 9, and 10. And they, that will be all who were in heaven, the angels and the Old Testament saints, sang a new song, saying, worthy are you, Christ, to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed, referring to past tense, he's already accomplished it, people for God from every tribe, language, people, and nation, and you have made them a kingdom of priests. That means you now can enter into his presence. If you were not a priest, you could not enter into his presence. And they shall reign on the earth. And so, and they, the believers, have conquered him, which is a reference to Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of his testimony, for they loved not their lives even to death. And this is John's message. Are you an overcomer? Or are you an earth dweller? Do you want the things of the earth? Or do you want to overcome and stand in the presence of the King as a priest? That is what the whole book is about. Do you love him? He's given you the encouragement. He's given you the insight. He's telling you the story, how he's revealing it. As we saw here, he's talking to the believers in 2 and 3, and then this is his victory. These are all the victories that are going to be happening. The way it's going to unfold is a story. The problem is some people say it happens, it's like it started back then, and number one has to be at a certain time period, and number two has to be cycle number two. It isn't. They've all happening at the same time. What I mean by that is when we're going to see about the seven seals is an example, as they unfold, they were unfolding from the time of John until the return of Jesus Christ. The trumpets from the time of Jesus Christ's first advent to the time of Jesus Christ's second advent. They're going to unfold. They're going to keep coming and going, coming and going out, coming and going out. An example of that might be, right now, Pastor Nate is down the street. He's preaching a message. And he's talking to that congregation right now. We're here, you're hearing on Revelation. A friend of mine, Gary George, is up in Southbridge, and he's going through his message. We are all simultaneously preaching and teaching, encouraging people to follow Christ. It's all happening all at the same time. And that's what's happening with the cycles. Each one of the cycles are all happening all at the same time. It's just different locations, different people, different events. And it's all pointing out that Christ is being victorious, and he's moving in the hearts and lives of people so that you will not be overwhelmed by Satan and the world and your own lust that runs through your body. You are victorious because of Christ, because you bowed a knee to him. And that's what the book of Revelation is about. It's a storybook about Christ victorious, you're victorious. Shall we close in prayer? Our Lord and our God, thank you so much for the truth that the Apostle John has been teaching us and encouraging us with. We love you. We adore you. Thank you for loving us first. May we take into consideration the great mercy that you have directed towards us in this book of Revelation that our brother has passed down to us through the ages, that will give us help, give us hope, give us encouragement, give us counsel, so that we may be good servants of the Lord. We praise you and we thank you for it all. In Christ's holy and precious name, amen.